Take your Bibles, you will, and turn with me, first of all, to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter number 23. And this is going to be an unusual service tonight, simply because this amazes me as I look at David. This psalm is a precious psalm, only six verses in it. It's a psalm that God moved on David's heart, and as David said this psalm, he put it in the Bible, and it has blessed many people when they came to trials and troubles and problems in this life, even down to the time of death. But it always amazes me that when you look at David here, it looks like he's got everything in control. Looks like he knows exactly who he's trusting in. Looks like he's got all his answers together, and we'll see that in a few minutes. But tonight I want to look at this psalm and also Psalm number 55. And 55 is where we're going to stay at in just a few minutes. Now, we need to understand some things, and I think tonight you'll be glad you came, because here is a place where David shows us what he knows God says and how hard sometimes it is to put it into practice when you face trials in life. I know this, the Bible entirely is written to us. But there's some things in the Bible is written for us. And I think the book of Psalms is one of those. Every one of these psalms are written for us to see the practicality of people's lives as they face things and then what they do in facing those things. One minute they're really trusting God on top of the mountain. Nothing's going wrong. Nothing's bad. And then the next minute you see like that they even forgot or maybe didn't understand what they were saying to start with because they're in a valley of trouble and trials. So we kind of mix it. I read recently, this one to help us get started, I think, said, talking about a man and a woman. It said, a man is a person who, if a woman says, never mind, I'll do it myself, he lets her do it. A woman is a person who, if she says to a man, never mind, I'll do it myself, and he lets her, and she gets mad. A man is a person who, if a woman says to him, never mind, I'll do it myself, and he lets her, and she gets mad and says, now, what are you mad about? And a woman is a person who, if she says to a man, never mind, I'll do it myself, and he lets her, and she gets mad, and he says, now, what are you mad about? She says, if you don't know, I ain't going to tell you. Well, we want to talk about the Word of God tonight, and if you look with me down first of all, and let's look at Psalms, just a touch for Psalms 23. Now, we are not sure when Psalms 23 is written. We can document when Psalm 55 is written. We can document it because of what's said in the Psalm. Psalm 55 was written when Absalom, David's son, rebelled against him and tried to take the kingdom away from him. In 1027 B.C., Absalom started his rebellion. You can find that in 2 Samuel 15, verse 6, where it says that Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. In 2 Samuel 18, 14, we see that Absalom was killed in about 1023 B.C. And since he talks internally about trouble in his own family, we know from a standpoint of study that this is no doubt about that time period. But when Psalms 23 was written, there's no way to identify the time period. So Psalms 23 was probably written before we see Psalms 55. And when you look at the contents here and try to put it in context, it seems like it may have, because in Psalms 23, we see David really on top of things because he knows who he's trusting. He set forth these truths. Friends, if you look with me, verse 1 and 2 and 3, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pasture, leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, he's showing forth, he believes, based on what he's saying, that God takes care of frailties as far as people are concerned. The word Lord, the Lord is my shepherd, is the word Jehovah. Jehovah God is my shepherd, he says. Jehovah simply means one who was, who is, and who is to be. Jehovah means the eternal one. And this is who David looks at. He said, Jehovah God, my Lord, he's the eternal one, the one who was and is and will be. He's the eternal God. And this is who my shepherd is, he says. And then, of course, this is the secret of a happy life. Then verse 4 and 5, notice this, especially verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He said, I'll be scared to death. What does he say? I will fear no evil. Now, I believe David meant that when he wrote it. I believe he knew he was close enough to God, that God had him in control, and whatever happened to his life was in the permissive will of God. And he said simply, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That which he sees taking place in his life as a rod, even as he attributes to a rod or a staff, he said, when it comes, it may hurt, but it's going to comfort me because he's in God's hands. And so he shows the secret of a happy death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He understood this. Sometimes people give this. I heard a true story of a pastor was telling up of the northern states that one night he got a call that somebody in his church, an elder person, was praying about someone who was dying in their family and wanted the pastor to go see him because he didn't think it was saved. So he went to him, and one morning, early in the morning, went and got up early and went over to see him. And sure enough, the doctor said he don't have long to live, but he was coherent enough he could talk to him. And he was in an oxygen tent. He didn't have oxygen, he was in a tent. And he said he got up under the tent and talked to this fellow and led him to the Lord. And he said he wanted to give him assurance. And he said, you know, so-and-so, you know the doctor says you're dying. In fact, they said, you may not live this day. And he said, now, since you trusted Christ as Savior, you know where you're going. You're going to heaven. He said, now, do you really know that you're saved? And he said, yes, sir. I just trust the Lord. Did you mean it when you trust the Lord as your Savior? Yes, sir. Did you mean it when you say that the fact that you have really trusted Christ as your, yes, sir, then that means that you're saved. And people who are saved go to heaven. Now, I want to ask you again to be sure, because in own fact, I want to be sure that you're saved. Do you know that you're really saved? Do you believe what I've just given to you about Christ? Yes, I do. And he went on like that, tried to give him confidence. And then he said, now, let me ask you a question. Where are you going to go when you die? He said, Kentucky. Because he was from Kentucky. He, in his mind, just couldn't get it together. Don't mean he won't save. Sometimes we're confused. Sometimes we don't have it all together. And sometimes when we're asked certain questions, we'll think in one way and haven't got our minds in line yet to know what he's talking about spiritually. And then he told him, then the guy said, oh, no, he said, he thought he was going to be buried back in Kentucky where he was at. And when he looked at himself in the body going back to Kentucky. Well, here's David talking about God one way. And later facing things, and then he starts out how he felt in Psalms 55 and what was going on, and then he tells us what happened when Psalms 23, what he knew in Psalms 23 began to take over in his life. By the way, everyone was that way. I guarantee you, if you had a catastrophic situation happen to you and your family, you weren't expecting tonight, tomorrow, your life would go in a tailspin. You'd wonder why. You'd wonder, be examining yourself, what in the world have I done? Have I done anything? Whatever it is, Lord, I cannot. If it'd be a child, someone close to us, and we'd find ourselves in such a dramatization of what's going on, we would forget some of the things God has said, and it'd take a little bit of time for God to bring us back to realization. Hey, I'm still in charge. Don't forget those verses I embedded in your heart and mind. Don't you forget what I promised you. Don't you forget the promises of God. And he'll get you back in line on those promises of God. And suddenly you come back in and you begin to see things from an eternal standpoint rather than a temporal standpoint. And that's what we're going to see happen to David here. Here again, he said in verse 5, thou preparest a table. In verse 6, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He can take care of our future. The secret of happy eternity is found, what David knew in Psalms 23. God, the eternal one who was and is and will be, he'll be there in the shadow of death and ready to take us. We don't even have to, when we leave this body, we don't have to go through the exit of death by ourselves. How do I know that? Luke 16, Jesus was talking about Lazarus who died. Talked about the rich man and died in hell. He opened up his eyes in torment. But he talks about the Lazarus who died. He said, when he died, when he departed from the spirit, the angels were there to usher him into glory. We don't even have to go through the exit of death by ourselves. Now, David knew this, but now with that behind, let's turn over to Psalm 55, because this is going to get down where we live at, and you'll be blessed tonight when you come to a place sometime or another, and all of a sudden the bottom drops out, and you feel out that you're falling and can't find the bottoms of yet, and everything's going against you, and Satan's throwing hell and everything else at you. And there will come times that will happen, ladies and gentlemen. You will have tears. If you never shed any, you will. And a lot of us has already shed a lot of tears. But let's see what David says now when he gets to Psalm 55 a period of time later. In Psalms 55, David felt what many of us have felt as we get some age upon us in life. I won't be honest with you. I'm older now to go back and I regularly miss, go back and think of things in the past and as I came along, and I see things different now. I see that there was a time that I had a lot more joy in seeing like I have now. As far as the life was concerned, I have more joy in the Lord than I've ever had. But I go back and I think about when I didn't have no pressure, when I didn't have no responsibility, when I found myself young and the world was there and just looked through eyes of flesh and thought, maybe, man, when I can just do this and that and the other, I'm going to have it all together, not realizing the responsibility comes with life, and sooner or later you're going to have some things that tears you apart. You're going to have some enemies. You're going to have some things that happen in family, and also you're going to have some things that happen in this world because this world is enmity towards God. And you begin to think about the life to live for the Lord. David found out that this world was not a friend to God's people. And by the way, it's not still today.
That's right.
It's not a friend to you if you're saved. I guarantee you, you'll find if you can't stand any principles for the principle, any principle on God's word, you'll find this world will be your enemy. And you'll find it doesn't mind telling you, and many people don't mind hearing it, when they're not going to conform and be transformed of what Jesus, God talks about into the family of God. So here David is hard pressed by his foes. If you've ever been tempted to give up and run away from your problems, this psalm can be for you. And I'm glad I found it. I'm glad I've studied it for weeks now because it helps me understand some things in my life. Now, you may think that I don't know what I'm talking about and I might be off base here. And you may think sometimes that, hey, man, is he all that good a Christian? But there's been some times in my life the burdens and the problems are so tough I wish that I could just get away. I wish I could just leave. But I knew a response, but I can't. You mean to tell me you leave? Yeah, I felt so troubled that I just get away for a while right by myself. And by the way, any man in here has probably felt that if you've been the age on you when you felt responsibility coming and everything came to you. It wasn't that you didn't love who you were around. It's just the fact the pressure was so great. The only way you thought to relieve it is to get by yourself somewhere or another and stay a few months or a year. You say, preacher, I never felt that way. Well, bless your little pea-picking heart then, amen. Because I'm going to tell you, this world will cause you in trouble sometime to wish you didn't have the responsibility. And yet you can't shut it. Some people do. Do you know the reason why many families in this world breaks up today? Because somebody didn't want to share the responsibility. Somebody thought it's too much and weren't willing to give the time. God gives us the insight that we are to give whatever is needed to keep our family and everything together. But some people can't do that because one won't. So I want you to see what David is going through here, and we will. This is where David's at. He is hard-pressed by circumstances that have passed beyond his control. And we must learn what David learned. David learned to go to God even when he was at fault, and he was. The reason this has happened, God told him, was because of what he did. God forgave him. Nathan told him that in the book of Samuel. But the trouble, they have it, the problems in his family and the problems in his life came because of what he did. And yet God said David was a man after his own heart. You know why? When Nathan pointed his finger at David and said, "Thou art the man," David fell in repentance before God. And God's heart, God softened his heart. Now, when I look through this, I'm seeing some things I believe will be a blessing. I want to just go through it. It won't take too long. Like I said, there's about 26, three verses here, but we're going to go through it pretty fast. Look at verse 1 and 2. Well, what David said. Now, keep in mind, the background of Psalms 23 don't sound like this. Oh, he's on top of it. It's the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. I not fear when I go through the valley of death. But watch what he says here now. See, there's a little difference in the way you and I act when we know what Scripture says and not faced anything yet. But when you know what Scripture says, and then suddenly a few months, a few years go by, and you face something, it's easy to forget what God said at that moment. Because you're involved with the turmoil, what happens in your life, and there's a fight that's going on you can't understand. Because Satan will come along while he's fighting you and say, if God was really who he is, he wouldn't let you go through this, when Satan knows all the time he's the one that's causing it. So hear me. He said, give ear to my prayer. Talking to God, oh God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Supplication, he's in a turmoil at this time. He's gone through trouble that he wishes somehow or another he could handle, but he can't. Tend to me and hear me. Watch this next phrase. He said, I mourn in my complaint, and watch, and I make a noise. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. David said, I mourn in my complaint. He's just not been said. It said, bless God, I know. He's deep down depressed and he's mourning in his complaint. And it's so bad, he can't make any words come out but just the noise. Have you ever heard somebody in the hospital hurting so bad, all they can say, they're hurting so bad that they can't do nothing but make a noise. And that somehow or another, the noise seemed to be relieving some of the pressure. David said, here, that's where I'm at. He said, I'm mourning my complaint. And he said, all I can do is make a noise. David was abused by men's oppression. They were crying out loud, and he was crying out to God. Absalom, Absalom, his son, was also rebelling against him at this instance, this time. Violence and strife and iniquity and sorrow and mischief and deceit and guilt is falling upon David now because the sin he committed, the murder he committed, the stealing he committed had already passed. And though God had forgiven him, he's feeling the effect of it even now. Watch, if you will, verse 4 and 5. He says this, verse 3 first. Verse 3 says, as David felt abandoned by God in verse 1 and 2. Verse 3 says, because of the voice of the enemy. The reason he's this way in verse 1 and 2, because the voice of the enemy, because the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. He's feeling it from the outside. He's feeling it from the inside. His own son now has turned against him, still in the hearts of the people. And he feels this great oppression. 4 and 5, he says, my heart is sore pain. Ladies and gentlemen, David is just about a crumble. And his world's crumbling in. Watch what he said. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Whoa, wait a minute. I thought he said over here in Psalms 23, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. Has he backslid? I don't think so here, because everything's happened. He's come along to realize that no matter where he's at, even forgiven of his sin that God said he was, and I'll show you that in a few minutes from Samuel, the prophet Samuel, yet he's feeling the pressure of what comes in life when there's attack by the enemy. He said, my heart is sore pain within me, the terror of death are falling upon me. Where is Psalms 23, verse 4 here? It wasn't long before David realized, and you see the end of this, what he says. What's the next verse? Fearfulness and trembling. I thought he said, I'll not fear. Didn't you think he said that? Didn't you read where he said that? What makes the difference here? The fact is, he's in the middle of a circumstance, and it's facing him, and he's fighting everywhere he comes. He can't get no relief anywhere at this moment. As God brings and allows this in his permissive will, and David's going to have to realize there are some things at the moment he may not understand and can't quite put it together right, but God's going to give the word hidden in his heart where later he will be able to put it together and look back as that word of God is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. He'll begin to look back down that path and see exactly what God was doing. But right now, that lamp to his feet, he can't see no further than he's at. And every step he takes is worse. Every step his son goes against him. Every step he turns is always seemed to turn against him. Every step leads in a direction he seems he should not be in, because he understood Psalms 23. But now he's in it, and he's got to plight, and he's having a few problems with that. Fearful and trembling are upon me, and horrors have overwhelmed me. David pleads his innocence as guilt meets him at every turn. He is tired of fighting for everything. He is brokenhearted. He's battered in spirit. Now his own son has turned against him in Samuel chapter 14 and verse 15. If you go back in 2 Samuel with me and look in verse 12, I'll just give you a pair of situation here where you find in verse 1, Nathan, it comes to David. He gives him a little parable like the prophet Nathan, and he said there was a rich man had all the sheep in the world, and there's another man had just one poor little sheep, and he said the rich man didn't take what he had. He went and took the poor man's sheep and killed it because he needed to slaughter so many words. And when he said that, he said a traveler came into the rich man, he spared to take his own flock, and therefore he got the other man's little sheep. And he took that, and he said he took the poor man's sheep in verse 4 and dressed it, and the man that was come to him, and David's angering greatly kindled against this man. When David heard this story, like form that the prophet gave to David, he began to feel inside, this ain't right. And his anger came up. And he said to the prophet Nathan in verse 5, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And amazing thing about it, David pronounced his own destiny. And prophet Nathan said, "David, thou art the man." And it struck terror to his heart. And suddenly he said, "This saith the Lord God, I gave thee in verse 8 thy master's house and all these sins." In verse 8, he said, I've got to hurry because of time. "Wherefore," in verse 9, "when thou despisest the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and hast taken his wife to be thy wife and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." He said, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house because thou hast despised me." Wait a minute. I remember strictly that David went out one morning when he wanted battle, where he should be as leader of a king. He looked out across his top of his porch where he went out to outward the coolness of the day, and he saw this lady across the span there a little bit, and all of a sudden he committed a terrible act, adultery, had her husband killed. Notice what God said. He said, David did this because of lust, but God said, you did it because you despised me. You know, listen, you knew what I said. You knew what should be done. And yet you forgot all of that. He said, "Now the Lord shall never depart from thy house." He said, "And thou hast despised me, and hast taken away the wife of Uriah the Hittite, the wife, to be thy wife. And thus said the Lord," he said, "I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house." And he said in verse 12, "For thou didst it secretly, but I'll bring this out before Israel and before the sun." And David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." You know, I can see why God loved David. David do like anyone would do, but when God spoke to him about that was wrong, he didn't make excuses. You see people nowadays who say, "I know I'm saved," and they do something against God, and God, they hear a message or something, or somebody will love them enough to go talk to them, and they say, "Hey, don't bother me. There must be something wrong with you." No, there's something wrong with them. They're just not saved or not close enough to the Lord to know what is right and wrong. And then he goes on, he says, "And they said to him, the Lord hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." But he said, "The child," in verse 14, "also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And Nathan departed his house, and the Lord struck the child, by the way, and he's very sick. Some people talk about God don't do certain things, ladies and gentlemen. Don't tell me. This Bible's full of things that God does, but he does out of love. And he does it to bring people back unto himself. He knows what button to push to get us where we need to be. He knows that. And David therefore besought God for the child, and if asked, you know how that story goes. So David pleads his innocence as the guilt is upon him. And when he turned, David longed for something. Go back with me now and watch what he says in verse 6 and 7 and 8. David said, "And oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander off, far off, and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the wind, this storm and tempest." I can imagine in my mind one day, maybe David was out on the up on the roof again where he was at before, pondering these things in his heart, feeling the pressures of this thing from the outside of in his kingdom, from the inside of his family, from the fact that he'd running from Saul like he did, and Saul took his life and finally had victory now inside his own family, the havoc that's there, which God said would be there. And then somehow or another, he must have seen a dove. Maybe God let a dove fly upon one of the rails of the fence there or of the wall. And he saw that little dove pitch there, just as free as could be. It amazes me he would use that because he said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove." And maybe why he was standing there contemplating the pressure and all, and, "Oh, if I could just get out from under this pressure." And suddenly that dove took off and flew off towards the woods somewhere or another. And he thought in his mind, "If I could be just like that dove, and I could go out into the wilderness, there is where no people's at. Have no one around me whatsoever, just God and what he's made." And I see that as David is hurting at this particular time. And he says, "For then I would fly away. If I could be like that little dove, I'd just fly away so I could get away from it all." And then he goes and he says, "For then I'd fly away and I'd be at rest," thinking that if he'd be like that and was like the dove when he got where he was going, he'd be at rest. He has no rest now. He's in turmoil. "Lo, then I would wander from far off and remain in the wilderness." Where the wilderness is, there's no people. You remember when Israel wandered into wilderness? They were about the only ones that were there. And he said, I was there. "I would hasten my escape from the windy storms of tempest." Maybe he thought about when he was a young, young man tending his father's sheep on the backside of nowhere, no responsibility except to look after the sheep for the father. How free he felt. Maybe he thought as a young man as he'd come up and had the great victory of Goliath. Maybe there's some things he thought about in those early years. And by the way, you have too. You go right now. There's not one in here. If you got any age on you, 50 or more years old, I can't go back sometimes and think of some good times when you had, when there was no worries, no problems, no troubles in your mind. They may have been, but if you had them, your mother Nettie had them, you didn't have them. And you just look back, and I don't care how bad things were, there's some good times back in those bad times. I don't think anybody had any worse time than I did. And yet I look back now, and I see good times. And I tell my mother, I tell my wife, amen. I tell her sometimes, amazing me how I miss my dad, because I knew him after he got saved better than I knew him before he got saved. And I go back and I think, and I have a tendency to want to go back some things I remember in my mind now. And sometimes I'll go back and get along with God in some places I can remember as a young man. Had no worries in the world. Didn't know what worries was, because life, you see, when you get out of teenage years and you just think, boy, engulfed in the home of a mother and dad, when you're about in adolescent years, you just cramped down, can't do nothing, want to break loose. And then suddenly you get to that point, you become an adult and you break loose, and you find out if you get there for a period of time, there's a lot of heartache out there in that world. And brothers and sisters, when you get in that world and burst into it, you're going to find yourself alone a lot of times and wishing that you'd made some different decisions. There's not a one of us in here that's any time behind us don't go back and wish that we'd made some different decisions we made back there. And young folks, you will do the same one of these days. We're just all human. And we think about, oh, if I can just do this. And you get there, if I can just get this car, you're going to get a better car, want a bigger one. If I can just get this house, boy, if I could just have a home and a wife and children, what amazing thing. That's the ideal situation. It's a great place, but it's a great responsibility. And ladies and gentlemen, responsibility is hard. It's hard. Because if people measure you certain ways, and they see something happen, then they measure with deterioration, not to help most of the time in life. And so here David's got a serious situation. David longs for those distant years when he had roamed as a shepherd boy, and even when he had fled King Saul. If you look in verse 7, he said, lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. David preferred the wild beast of the woods rather than the human beast in Jerusalem. Those hills in the past had brought him comfort. David said, I wished I could go back to those good days and just get away. From what? From sin and life and civil war and hatred and rather than love. His past has caught up with him now. Adultery, thief, and murder. Sword of chaos is in his house. David draws into a dream world for a few moments. As you see in verse 6, 7, and 8, oh, if I could just let these responsibilities be laid aside and not feel the pressure. But you can't. The only time you lay them down is when they lay you down in the ground, amen? But I want to tell you, folks, if you'll learn like David, don't be upset if you face something and suddenly don't understand it. But if you've got the Word of God hid in your heart, you'll find God will use those things to bring you around to understand where he's at and what he's doing. Watch in verse 9. Now he begins to change a little bit when David looks at this. And in verse 9, first thing he starts out with, David's anger is seen against those who caused him trouble. The enemy's in his house. Ladies and gentlemen, this amazes me. He says, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I've seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls. There are mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it, wickedness in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. David, the anger is seen. Enemies in his house. And from 9 to 15, he's talking, oh Lord, destroy their tongues, confuse their tongues, divide their tongues. And he goes on, he says, for it was not an enemy. Watch, not only is it happening from the outside, but watch in verse 12. He said, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, that I could have borne it. Oh, if it just been an enemy, I could have borne it even better. But watch, he said, neither was it he that hated me that did it, magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. If it just been outside, I could handle that because I could have got away or hid myself. I didn't have to associate with certain people. I wouldn't have to do that. But watch what he says about Absalom. And that's who he's referring to. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, my acquaintance, my closest friend, that we loved each other. And there was a time. And of course, you have to go through the story and see why Absalom, you know, killed a person because of his sister and so forth. And that caused chaos in David's family, because one of the sisters, one of the brothers had incest with a sister, and Absalom got upset and killed him. And it was just a messed up mess. But his closest friend, watch, he said, it was thou, a man, my unequal. He's my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of God and come. He said, we attended the house of God together and come. Now, not that they went armed in arm, but he said, like we are here. I mean, if you're over here in this house, you're as much here as they are. You're with these people. You may not get a chance to even speak to them tonight, but we'll assemble together. And that's what David said. He said, we went to the same place of the house of God together. Inside the place where he worshiped at. Then verse 15, he comes out and he says, let death seize upon them. That's an amazing thing. I don't know if I've ever prayed for God to kill somebody. But that's what David said. And let them go down quick into hell, or place of the grave. That's what it means. Sheol. For the wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. What David would do now is his response in verse 16. As for me, he says, he's hurting. He said, Lord, take them out of the way. My prayers, do destroy them if I have to, whatever it is. But he said, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord not will, but shall save me. Don't you see what's happening? Psalms 23, and the word of God that's in his heart is coming back to him now. In the heat of his thinking, in the heat of his trouble, he's looking at his enemy, and he realizes now he's got an atmosphere should not be there, even to a place of hatred, crying out for God to destroy them. But then suddenly, there's compassion. God indwells in his heart to begin to look at it through the eyes of the Scripture, which is the eyes of God. And now he's looking at it, and he said, as for me, I'll call on God. The Lord shall save me. Even in morning and noon, I'll pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. This is David's response. Not like the world. The world may go further and further away from God. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, if you're truly born again, you've been saved any period of your time, and you hide this word in your heart on a consistent basis, the Holy Spirit will have something to work with 15 years from now if God don't come for the church. When some of you face some problems, and all of us may face some if we're here, we face some problem. That word of God, the Holy Spirit will activate it. You say, remember when you learned that back yonder? You bring it up and you go to the Bible. You say, I got to read that again. And you go read it again. And suddenly God will begin to bring that thought, like Jeremiah, I'm not going to preach anymore, Lord. And he said, it's in my bones. I'm not, Lord, I'm quitting now. I'm like, I can't stand this oppression. I can't stand all this stuff going on. I feel like the only person in the world. He said, not going to say another thing. And then suddenly, after a period of time, he said, it's in my bones. I can't. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings fresh and anew to you once you get to a point to look at things from God's viewpoint. And suddenly, it begins not to understand it like you'd like to, but it begins to give you some reason for living and knowing that God is working things out. David himself, he said, even in mourning, I cry aloud. He had delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. He said, even the battle that I had going on inside, he's delivered my soul from that. Man, that's an amazing thing. By the way, you can't really have peace until you have peace of your soul. Peace on this earth don't mean much outward if you don't have peace. There's a lot of folks living in peace in this nation, but they're in turmoil inside their soul. They have no peace whatsoever because they don't have God. And then notice what he says in verse 19 and 21. God is righteous. He said, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He said, what's happened to him, he feared what he's done to bring back in line to God. They have no fear of God, so therefore there's no change. and therefore there's no change, he can't expect anything less from them. If they don't have a change, there's no way he can expect anything less from them. And he's come to the place that he had to turn that over to God himself. God is righteous. David's enemies were despicable, deceitful, unbelieving foes, wrapped up in the cloak of their own religion, but they have no fear to change before God. Verse 20, he had put forth his hand against such as be at peace with him. He had broken his covenant. He's gone to those in turn that have not don't have the peace of God. Verse 21 said, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. In amazement. Now I understand why David talks over here about going ahead and letting them die. He said, Lord, there's no going to change. These people have no change in their attitude at all, who's his enemies. And he said, when they speak their mouth with words that's smoother than butter. By the way, I know some preachers like that, don't you? I heard one this past week. You can't find nothing much, but he's talking about you don't have to worry about God's wrath because of his grace. And he was telling hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, if you don't worry about nothing at all, these people going around telling you about God's wrath so far, don't listen to them. God, you're under grace. And God's grace extended to you. He loves you so much, he wants you to understand. He just smooth as butter, melting, flowing. I want to tell you, folks, listen. You've heard me say hundreds of times, there's no one who believes in the grace of God anymore than I do. In fact, I believe it more than some of the people who say they believe it. But I want you to know, God is a God of wrath. And when you begin to move that, we got problems. That's the reason the world's going like it is now. In Psalms 22 and 23, notice he said, the word of his mouth is like butter, but war is in the heart. They're talking words like butter, but he said there's a war in the heart. His words are softer than oil. You ever tried to look at baby oil? How soft it is. I know it's slimy a little bit, but it's also soft. He said, yet were they drawn. His words are softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Then verse 22 and 23, God will defend his saints. I like this. David said now in 22 and 23, cast thy burdens upon the Lord. He's going back now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, he said. Watch. And he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And we got a better promise. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the book of Hebrews. God will defend the saints and defeat the sinners at the end. And then he said, but thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Now I see, he said, go ahead and destroy them, Lord. Let death see. But now he realized it's only in God's timetable. God, you'll be the one who brings them down. In your own timetable, you will do what you need to do because you do things in righteousness. When we do things, we always mess it up. But he does things in righteousness. And oh, God shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. And he ends the psalm with that. What a psalm of comfort and courage in days of fiery trials when he says, I will trust in thee. Leave these with you. Look in chapter 56 in verse 3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. See it? Mark it, folks. Mark it. That little book I wrote, Trusting God or Not Trusting Him. Boy, I learned something during that time. A little pamphlet, you can read it in about 20, 30 minutes. And when Barbara and I went through that trial that time when she was sick and I was sick together, in verse 4 he said, in God I'll praise His word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. May I read all four of these verses together? Be merciful, he said unto me, O God. For man would swallow me up. He fighteth daily, oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. But what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. He's come back to Psalms 23 now. Amen. See it? And he said, in God I will praise his word. And he says, I have put my trust, and I will not fear in what flesh can do to me. Now watch verse 11. Two more verses. Verse 11, he says, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. I wonder why he said that twice here. You know, the more he repeats that, the more he's going to know it. David's like a fellow. Some things he has to repeat to himself to be sure he understands what he's talking about. You ever talk to yourself? You ever talk to yourself? Man, I do it all the time. I get embarrassed sometimes. I'd get along with God and get talking. And sometimes I sure hope he'll let me stop at every stoplight, because I get so involved sometimes I wonder if I even stopped at some of the stoplights. But I did. I think I must have. Nobody hit me, so I must have stopped. But I remember stopping at one time, and you tell me in Raleigh, head to the hospital. I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe I just loved to hear my voice talk to God. And I was talking to God. I mean, just talking. And I was sitting there, and I don't know why I looked to that person to the right, and they were looking at me. I'd never seen such a face. They were looking all over in that car, and didn't see nobody in it. And you know what, folks? I felt kind of guilty about that. I first thought, I said, they must think I'm crazy. And I had to, down the road a little bit further, be reminded, hey, wait a minute. You should never be ashamed of talking to God if you talk out loud. There's nothing to be ashamed about that. And then he says in verse 13, watch. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now, he's getting back spiritually. Not the body. The body's going back to the dust. But thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Now, isn't it an amazing thing? Look what David had done when he fell. But Nathan pointed to him. He didn't make excuses. There's a lot of folks who come to church and hear a message, and God gets all over them, and they blame the preacher and leave, so I'm never going back there again. You know why? Because they can't understand that God can use someone to show them something wrong. But David's not that way. Now, he comes back to where he was, Psalm 23. He said, thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling? Why? That I may walk before God in the light of the living. What a song to comfort our hearts and courage, give us courage in fiery trials. Father in heaven, I thank you again, Lord, for the precious word of God. I don't know if this can help anyone tonight, but I believe it all my heart. There are things that people can do to study more along this line, and God will reveal some great truths to them, because you see everywhere we're at. Maybe every one of us here is a little different as far as where we're at in society. But Lord, these things happen to us all. There's not any of us here don't wish sometimes. I just wished I could get out of this pressure. I wish, Lord, there's some way I could release vow and get out. And then we realize, Lord, I'm not complaining because I don't trust you. I want you to help me trust you more. And Lord, I know if I could get away and fly away like a dove sometimes, I know, good and well, I feel like I'd be at rest. But then I remember, Lord, that you're not going to put more on us than we can bear. And instead of flying away we're like a dove to try to forget, Lord, just give me what I need to go through every day. Because I believe the sweet Holy Spirit that lives in us, as this word is hid in our heart, I believe he will, when time comes, when God gets us thinking back in mind, in the right mental aspect to you, then the Holy Spirit will also bring to mind scripture that he can use to bless our hearts with and encourage us in the depth of a dark night. The Lord, encourage someone tonight, I pray. Let this be a time not of retribution or reproving, but to encouragement as we look at David. Lord, I'm amazed at how many years I've seen these two chapters, 23 Psalms and 55. And I'm amazed only to the beginning of this year that I see a difference between the two and see David. Lord, I want to be, if I see an example at all like David, I want to be sure that when something's wrong, to set it straight. And I want to be sure, Lord, when I face things in time, help us never to shame the name of our wonderful Savior. But in turn, help us see through eyes of faith to know that God is there. And he's promised never leave us or forsake us. And we will trust God for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.